Hey, what up? It's DK. Thank you so much for listening to the Mixing Music Podcast. I just want to do a quick plug. Did you know that I write kids' books? If you have children, nieces, nephews, I have books that are totally available for free or $10 on Amazon for physical copies. You can go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/kidsbooks to get access and learn more about that. Thank you for all of your support. Now let's get back to the show.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
One, two, three.
Welcome back to the Mixing Music Podcast. Today we have a very special episode with a special guest, Alejandro, or also known as Mix by Toach. How you doing, Toach? How you doing, man?
Hey, man. Thanks, man. Thanks for having me here. Appreciate that. This is awesome. Thanks for the opportunity, bro.
Yeah, we're excited to have you here. Toach and I, we met randomly by the Mix with the Masters booth at the NAMM show. And, it's kind of awesome that we were able to hang out. I just kind of had the feeling like, man, I should say hi to this guy. I think we were sitting next to each other. Who were we listening to? Jason Joshua or something?
I think it was Jason Joshua.
First off, how was NAMM for you?
I loved it. It was my first time out there. I loved it. I think it was pretty good. Did a lot of networking. Learned a lot of stuff that's coming out. My first time in California, so I loved it. I was like, yeah, this is where I'm supposed to be.
it was awesome. And that was a fun seminar that we were part of. And a little bit about Toach, he's from Massachusetts, and so out on the East Coast, and he's got a couple names under his belt. So can you tell us a little bit about your claim to fame, your work, and what you do, and everything about your business?
All right, man. Yeah, definitely. I own a recording studio here in Worcester, Massachusetts. If you guys are not familiar with that, that's where Joyner Lucas. That's where he's from.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty it's the second biggest city from Boston. So it's like connected towards the middle of Massachusetts, and ever since like Joyner came out, there's a lot of good artists out here that's coming out strong, man. I think the sound out here is it's changing. It's being unique. Every time Joyner puts something out, it's like, yeah, I identify with that sound because that's, you can hear Worcester all over that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but the way I started way back in the day, man. I've been doing this for almost like 20 years, man, almost. I started in my friend's house and worked my way from there, man, to bought a house, did it on my basement. From there, I went to a commercial building, and now I'm still here in a commercial building. Though my first big artist that I started with mixing was Wyclef Jean. Are you probably too young to know?
No,
about
I know who Wyclef is.
Yeah. So by that time Wyclef was retired and he was running for president in Haiti. So there was an artist from here to Worcester that started making music, and he heard it and he reached out to him. Hey man, I like your music. You know, let's do something together. I was like, we were like, okay, cool. So went to New York, met up with him. He wasn't doing music or anything. But that song, and we ended up recording a song with Wyclef that day. And he gave me the opportunity to mix it. He's like, yo, listen, usually my brother's the one that mixes everything for me. But, I heard the stuff. I like the way you did it. So I'm going to give you an opportunity. I was like, I appreciate that. But you ain't ready for me, man. So I came in. I killed the mix. He still wanted that. He was looking for that song. They were looking for that Fuji style.
Yeah, because I think he was close. Wasn't Wyclef close with the Fugees, specifically with Lauryn Hill?
Yeah, he was part of that. So I mixed it, it went pretty good. And ever since then, I get to work with a bunch of more artists. Yeah. I opened the doors for a lot of things.
That's amazing. Yeah, and you've worked with some bigger names now as well. And I really respect your work. I've listened to a lot of your mixes. I've listened to a lot of your post-production mastering and stuff. And,
thanks,
dude, everything sounds really, really solid.
Yeah, Cool. Appreciate that, man. Appreciate that.
So I'm glad to have you on the show. I'm glad that we can talk, especially because in our world, from a worldwide perspective, there tends to be a lot of engineers within, like, the rock scene, within the pop scene, but specifically within, like, R&B and hip-hop. It's a little bit more, not rare anymore, but it's not as common, you know?
Yeah,
so
sure.
I'm glad that we can connect and talk about this.
Yeah, man.
So, dude, tell me about your process. So when you mix, what are some of the first things that you do? Like, if you get stems or however you ask to receive sessions, right? Mm-hmm. What is some of your process for setting up a session for you?
Well, I what I do is, like, I like to listen to the rough mix. Even a lot of people, they're like, I don't know, some people don't like the rough mixes. But I like to listen to rough mixes just to see the idea of the producer and the engineer, where they're going with it. You know, I communicate with them, see what's up, what's in their mind. Because I want to be on the same page. Like, again, because I mix all types of music from rock to everything. So my vision could be different than theirs. So that's the first thing I do. And then once I get the files, you know, put everything in order, drums, keys, everything in order, color-coded and everything. But then I listen to it a lot before I even touch mixes. I just, like, try to get the vibe. You know, I mix more for it by instincts. You know what I'm saying? The vibe that I'm getting and the feeling that I'm getting from the song. And that's what I go for. And then I start pulling up, you know, dialing up. Because once I hear the vibe, I already know what I want, what I'm looking for. So I'm like, okay, cool, you know, and I start dealing and I started sometimes, you know, most of the time I start with the beat or sometimes I'll start with the vocals, either or.
That's dope.
Yeah, for sure.
I love that. Yeah. So one of the things that I talk a lot about on the show is the importance of a rough mix. I think that the rough mix is very important. And I love that you brought up that you listen to it a lot and you spend time listening to it for the vibe, right? Do you think in general that there are better mixes than other mixes? Or is it just an interpretation and style?
I think it's just an interpretation of style, of your style. I don't think there's a right or wrong. I think it's just an interpretation. You know, this is an art, and basically we're painting a picture. And this is the way we want the world to see our picture.
Absolutely.
That's the way I think about it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And you probably get a lot of clients specifically for your, you know, your style.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I kind of, like, my sound is just, I still haven't, like, pinpointed it, but everybody tells me, oh, it's clear, it's crispy, you know. I listen to a lot, well, that comes from, because I listen to a lot of Spanish hip-hop and trap. Bad Bunny and all them cats, I listen to a lot of it just because I like the way it's leveled, the bass and the kick. You know, it's the way it's kicking. So I listened to a lot of that. But before that, when I started mixing, I started mixing bands, rock. I did a lot of rock. So I follow a lot of CLA, Chris Lord Alge.
Yeah.
All that stuff and all his mixes, which I got to meet, like, personally over there in NAB, which I was like, what? It was crazy. But anyways, I did a lot of live bands. So that kind of, like, helped me up a lot.
Yeah, that's so interesting. So how much would you say of your work is hip-hop, R&B, more urban, let's include reggaeton in there, versus, like, rock music or, like, just a totally different genre?
Bro, it used to be, like, a good 80% rock and music. Now it's mostly hip-hop. I'll tell you, 90% it's hip-hop, R&B music, which is cool. I grew up listening to that. So I really enjoy mixing stuff like that.
I have a question. With your studio, you said you own a studio. And
yes.
I know nobody else can see what we're doing right now, but I see your studio in the background. Looks nice. You got some nice LEDs and stuff going on. But I assume you do a little bit of recording. So you said you've been doing it about 20 years or so, you know, probably since you were young as well. How much of that time have you spent mixing versus tracking, you know?
Well, yeah, that's a good question, man.
And how has it changed over the years, I think, is the best way to answer that, yeah.
Yeah, I spent most of the time recording a lot and sending it out to mix when I first started to other engineers that the artist preferred. But I always got, you know, into my rough mix, making sure my rough mixes were good. You know, I think that's how people started trusting me with their mixes. When my rough mixes started really good and they were like, you know what? That mix this guy did, the rough mix that you did sounds way better. So, you know, that's the way I got into the people trusting me and mixing their projects. So, yeah, I still think rough mixes are important.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I love that because I feel like a lot of people start their career that way, mm-hmm. especially when they have a thriving community. For me, it was not the same exact way because in Utah, in this small market, most studios yeah. do everything from beginning to okay. end. Right. But in your case, where you probably have a few more studios and it's a little bit more economically thriving, oftentimes I hear people like, oh, yeah, I became a mix engineer because people kept liking my rough mix, and like my rough mix was better than your master, you know. So people keep saying that. And so I love that. And one of the greatest things about that is that when you have a client leave the room after you record them and do a little rough mix, they're kind of forever attached to that sound,
yeah.
to that vibe.
Yeah.
So it's a really great segue into like, hey, yeah, you might like my mix better because that's what we did first, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And out here, it's a little different, man. The market, it's like they want everything yesterday, like today, like right now. When I leave the session, I want it mixed. So I've like kind of adapted, which is wrong. You know, I like to take time, you know, people give me the time. When I take time, my mix it sounds way better. But some cats, they don't have the budget or they're in a hurry. They want to get down the same night. I'll mix a song. I'll hit play. And by the time the song finished playing, it's done mixing.
Yeah.
Because I'll be flying, bro. I'll be flying. And plus, when I start off the session, you know, that's another thing, man. In this business, you have to be quick. You have to be fast. You have to be reliable. I've recorded, you know, my early years with big producers, and they were quick. You have to pull up, oh, I want to make this sound. You have to be able to pull up quick and be quick with it. So I start with, you know, I have my general recording and mixing template. So I have like a template that's for mixing that's already inactive there. So whenever we don't record, and boom, I activate those plugins and start adding them and everything there. I use it as a starting point.
Yeah.
You know, I use it as a starting point. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. I have a few templates. I was like, okay, this is not working. Let me pull up another thing. But yeah, in this business, I think for those young mixers and producers, you have to be able to make your workflow fast and be able to adapt quick. Because like I said, I've also recorded with Hollywood actors, you know, and they're quick too. Producers are quick. You know, I've been in my studio, and there's this whole studio in Hollywood full of producers and directors, and they out here, they're expecting you to do stuff quick. Oh, okay, we're going to jump into this section, and you'll be like, oh, okay, you know, that's not, okay, give me a second. No, that's none of that.
Yeah.
That's not at all. So yeah, man, and that's one, you know, one thing I could tell them is like, yeah, you know, arrange yourself, make yourself more reliable, more willing to do anything. I'm also known as that. It's like, yo, if I'm willing to do anything, you want to work, let's work. I'm not, oh, you know, I can't right now. No, I'll be like, all right, let's do this. You know,
yeah.
That's one thing that I've gained big gigs that way. I can tell you a story. You know, I don't know if you know YBN Cordae.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So his manager called me at 3 a.m. He's in LA. I'm over here. Manager called me at 3 a.m. He said, yo, what you doing? I'm like, what do you think I'm doing? I'm home, bro. I'm sleeping. It's 3 a.m. He's like, I got Cordae's I need you to master a few songs for him. I'm like, I bet. I'm on my way to the studio. Yeah. He's like, first of all, he's like, can you do it for me? I'm like, damn, it's 12 o'clock, but okay. But he's like, I'll pay you whatever. I was like, all right, that plus a Red Bull. I'm on my way to the studio.
So
at that time, it was 3 a.m. I went, killed it. You know, ever since then, I've been getting stuff from them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really good point. So
yeah.
If you're like, sometimes it's not only just front of mind, you know, but also whoever's first to sacrifice, whoever's willing to sacrifice.
Yeah, I've noticed that's taken me a long way, especially in the industry. You know, them reliable. They know when they call me or I get a text, you know, they know they're going to get a reply real quick from me.
So I have a couple of technical questions for you. First one's a little bit more general, but how do you think your mixes, your sound has changed over the course of your career?
It has, because I used to use a lot of outboard. And if I don't know if you can see it, but I have a whole rack of outboard gear. But this, like I said, I don't know over there, but over here, everything is fast. And they want their mixes the same day or the
I think that's pretty, dare I say, like a worldwide thing right now.
Yeah, man. I have so many amps. I got distressors that I hardly use now because, I mean, I use it when they give me time to mix it. But since I record and mix within the way, you know, same session, you know, it's sad because I don't get rid of them because when I have, you know, they email me a mix, I'm using those. But it's changed a lot. Like, I used to be able to use outboard more than before, but now it's all mostly in the box.
That's crazy. And so it's mostly in the box now. And yeah. Do you feel like, obviously, you've gotten better, right? Over like the span of the 20 years. So. Yeah. Like, what kind of techniques have you tried and then stopped using? What kind of techniques are you using now that you're trying or whatever? Or are you kind of like, once you figure it out, you stick to it? Well, what is kind of your process of learning, I guess?
Well, I tried. I mean, I got friends that they're so much better than me. I pick their brain at times. I use different techniques and see what sounds, you know, what sounds better. I don't stay in one. I keep using different and new techniques. See what's coming out. I look up information. Oh, shoot, that sounds good. Let me try that. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But I keep it in mind, you know, every technique has a different sound. So I was like, okay, I'll keep in mind for if I'm looking for this sound. But yeah, I'm always keeping with this whole, there's a plugin that comes in every day, you know, a new plugin every day. So I don't try to buy much plugins, but I got friends that have all plugins, and then so I don't have this plugin, I go to his studio and try it out, you know, say, okay, if it's worth it to buy in it, then fine. But yeah, I'm always trying new stuff, new things, see, you know, and keep, you know, this whole music game keeps changing, so I keep, you know, I try to keep up with it.
And actually, the last episode that we did was my thoughts on plugins versus in the box, and mm-hmm. we talked a lot about efficiency, about speed, about how that's the reason why a lot of these, like, people bigger than us, right? More Grammys than any of us have, right? But, they're all in the box now. And it's mostly because of exactly what you just said. Mm-hmm. Can I be honest with you? Can you be honest with me? I mean, other than the time that you spend, because when they give you time, you take time. And, of course, mm-hmm. when you take time, it might sound a little bit better. Because then you could take it home and listen to it and do some revisions yourself, you know?
Yeah.
But if you didn't have to, if you were given the same amount of time, would your mixes sound better in the box or using analog gear? Or would it be the same?
That's a good question, man. And I've asked myself that so many times, and I've come up to this conclusion. It all depends on the production. Because if the production is good, it's going to sound good no matter what. But if it's bad, man, right before this call, I've been mixing this song for like a week, man, and I can't make it sound right at all because it's just the production is like terrible. It's like I tried outboard gear. I tried everything, and I'm like, nah, this ain't working. But yeah, man, I mean, I think if the production is A1, no matter what, if you do outboard gear or in the box, it's going to sound dope.
Are there actually times where plugins didn't work and the analog was the only way that it worked?
Yeah, there was times. There was times that I used my Summon amp. I have nice Dangerous Music Summon amp that just kicks, it just makes the mix sound so much better. I'm like, yeah, this is why I still have this thing.
Of course, yeah. But would you be afraid? So let's say that you, for some reason, someone's borrowing your Dangerous Summing amp, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you finished a mix and it was a high pressure label situation where they're testing you to see if they're going to start signing you and start working with a label artist, right?
Yeah.
Would you feel bad about sending them a mix without the summing box?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I've been in that situation, and I've been in such a couple times, and I'm like, I just make sure it sounds good, man. In my mind, I know everything's in the box. Everybody works is in the box. So I'm like, okay, since everybody's going to work, I need to make sure that my in the box is going to sound fire,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it's just like, I just got to make sure it sounds good. You know, I listen to it everywhere in my car, my AirPods, you know, anything that has speakers, I listen to my music. And it's just, when it's something like that, that's high pressure, I'm like, yeah, I just throw everything out and try to put, you know, listen to it and in the box. I'll do different options. But yeah, most of the time in the box is what works.
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. I've also been in a lot of like high pressure situations, and to be fair, you probably have the same, you know, the same experience, but sometimes these people also said no. You know, a lot of times these people say no, and it's all right. No skin off your back. It's so hard to make people that you don't know happy. And I think it's because of one specific thing. It's not because of the mix. It's because of trust, right?
Yeah.
So how much do you think that trust has to do with whether someone likes your mix?
I absolutely agree with that. I agree with that because I have, you know, I have an online store and people send me their mixes and stuff like that. So a lot of my clientele, I don't even know them. I just over the phone, over text. So, I usually have a conversation when they send me the mix. I call them up. Hey, how you doing? You know, I want to introduce myself. Toach, you know, talk to me about this mix. What's your vision? Send me something that your music relates to, another artist, you know, that's out there so I can listen what vibe you're trying to go with. I try to get the most information out of them that I can so I could be in the same page as them and kind of have that. When I have that conversation, I could bond with them and, they feel good about that. That's so important. Like, that is so, I've seen that as so important because people are like, okay, yeah, you know, they vibe with you, they bond with you, and they trust you. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. Trust is a big thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, dude, I got a couple other, like, really quick questions here. What is your favorite EQ plugin right now?
My EQ, I use basic stuff, but my go-to that I can't live without is the McDSP ML4000.
Oh, dude, guess what? I'm wearing my McDSP t-shirt right now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, dope.
Bro, I can't live without that plugin, man. I'd be doing miracles with that thing.
Yeah, that's dope. Okay, what about your most used dynamic plugin?
Dynamic plugin? Oof.
Let's say for right now, because I know that 20 years your most used is probably not going to be the same, but like currently, what are you using?
Currently, I mean, I use the SSLs. I use a lot of SSLs.
Like the G-Bus?
Yep. I use those. I use the CLAs, the JJP. I use, see what else I got here going on. The R bass, if I want something to kick
ass.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right. Yeah. So let me ask you another thing. What is the one instrument or vocal that no matter who does it, no matter who you get it from, you're just going to kill? Like, for example, like some people say, I kill like 808s. No matter what, I could make your 808 sound way better.
Oh, okay. That's a good question, man. Shoot. Because I think it's an 808 and a bass. Like, like, you understand, my room vibrates, man.
Yeah.
I'm on the ninth floor of this building. I'm in downtown Worcester, which is like, I'm like a block from City Hall. And I'm one of these high rises, it's the ninth floor. And they can feel my bass like on the fourth floor when I crank it up.
Do you ever get in trouble for that?
Oh, I don't get in trouble, but I do have like the management come over and say, you're going to tear down the building. but they cool with it because when I do that, it's like late night, you know, nobody's here. Yeah. I crank it up and I'm like, yeah, it just sounds fire.
Yeah, bro, good. So tell me, like, so with, obviously a lot of people have the whole question about kick versus bass or bass balancing, checking the low end, whatever it is. What's your advice?
Man, I don't really pay attention too much to that. As long as it kicks, because, you know, I'm a kick dude. As long as I'm feeling it, I'll go with it. You know what I'm saying? If I need to cut a little bit more from the lower end, then I'll do it. If I need to compress it, then I'll do it. But it's just whatever I'm feeling, and if it has to kick, you know, there's a point that I got to feel it. And once I feel it, I'm like, okay, yeah, it's there. And then I would just work with the volume.
Yeah, that's right. It's so funny. Like, one of the most craziest, not, it's not sad or depressing in any way, but it's kind of like, oh, like I'm overthinking it, we're all overthinking it, is with all of these Mix with the Master session, you ask anybody questions like that and they all say the same thing. They're like, I don't know. They're like, I kind of, there's nothing specific that I do, I just feel it out. And to be honest, that's mixing, right? You know, like,
yeah it is. You just gotta feel it and go with the vibe.
That is awesome. So with your 20 years of experience working with these bigger artists, being in the East Coast, what is one thing that you wish you did during your younger years, your earlier years, that would have helped you, set you, put you on a better trajectory now?
I think to be honest, I tell everybody, if I would have maybe lived in Miami or somewhere like where the music is more, I would be killing right now. And I'm here, my family's here. Now things are popping up because of Jordan Lucas. Ever since he's coming out, there's a bunch of artists out here that's coming out, and you know, everybody's looking at Worcester like, okay, you know, who's mixing these records? Who's working with these artists? So I've been getting, you know, we've been getting a lot of shine because of that. But before that, if I had a chance to move to LA, I would have moved to Miami. I would have, you know, because that's where the scene is at. And I knew I would have killed it out there, or at least compete with those big guys.
Yeah.
Out there for sure.
I mean, sure. But it doesn't seem like you're using that as an excuse now. It seems like you're doing well.
Yeah. Now I'm like, yo, let's bring it. Let's do it.
That's dope. You know what I'm saying? You know, you're the type of guy that looks for diamonds in your backyard before you head over to the territory.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure, man. For sure. And I think today, Jason Joshua on his Instagram posted Jonas Lucas' video. It's like, let's have I think it was Guru or somebody. It was like, on Jason Joshua. If you go, I was there talking shit. I was like, let's have a mixed battle with Jonas Lucas' song. And I was like, you don't want that smoke. That's a Worcester Mass smoke. That's a Worcester Mass sound. You don't want that. You ain't ready for that. I was over there talking shit. I was like, damn, what happened?
That is awesome. Awesome.
I was, he posted as like a mixing battle with Jordan Lucas. I was like, you don't want that, man. That's a Worcester sound, bro. That's all these engineers out here. That's our sound. Like, you don't want that.
That's right. Anyway, we're going to close this up. Thank you so much for joining us, Tosh.
Thanks, man.
And thank you for giving us some advice, talking about your story. If you like what we're doing, please make sure that you leave a 5-star review. That is the best and fastest way to help our channel grow and to let us know if you have any feedback. Also, as always, I always offer free mix feedback. You can always email me an MP3, DEEKEIMixes@gmail.com. And dude, Toach, tell me, how can people find out more about your business? How can people find you?
Definitely, for sure. If you're out here in Worcester, Mass, or in Massachusetts area, just, you know, Fontana's Recording Studio, just Google Recording Studios in Mass. I come up one of the top ones. If you're looking for mixing, mastering, I know you're dope, but if you for another alternative, mixbytoach.com, that's my website. You can check out my music. There's a bunch of stuff, the artists that I work with, and the latest stuff there, for sure. Mixbytoach.com.
And Mixbytoach is also your Instagram tag, right?
Yep, it's my Instagram.
Yeah, I'm giving the DK seal of approval. This guy knows what he's doing. So
thanks, man. Appreciate that. So, I'm humble, man. Appreciate that.
Look him up on Instagram. Look him up on his website. And happy mixing. Stay saucy, my friends.
1, 2, 3.
This episode of Mixing Music with DK has been brought to you by LaunchPod Media. If you want to start a podcast, make sure to start it right with LaunchPod Media. Psst. Hey, you. Yeah, you. Come join our Discord. The Mixing Music Discord server is filled with tons of awesome information and people. People that can help you out and information that can help you grow your business and to help you improve your mixes. So come join us and find the invitation link at mixingmusicpodcast.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.